Sharon, would you please call roll?
I will. Amelon?
Present.
Bynum?
Present.
Severson?
Present.
Billings?
Yeah, I'm here.
Lynn?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Biederman?
Here.
Tysonka?
Here.
Von Bargen?
Here.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the Zoom meeting that would like to introduce themselves?
This is Clay. I'm on the line in Wrangell.
This is Joel Paisner. I'm on the line in Seattle.
Joel. No further responses here.
Okay. Item there, communications. Do we have any lay on the table items that the board would like to lay out? Hearing none, I'll move. Is there any disclosure of conflicts of interest that any of the board members want to talk about? Again, hearing none, I'll move. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Mr. Chairman?
Motion to.
Go ahead.
Yes.
I move to approve the agenda.
No, I move to approve the agenda.
Sounds good. I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. Are there any amendments to the agenda or that anybody wants to make? Hearing none, Sharon, would you call roll on approval of the agenda, please?
Will. Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Larson?
Larson.
Oh, yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Tysonka. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to the next item, is there anybody on the line to be heard at the meeting? I think, Sharon, you said there was nobody on?
Nobody outside of the SEPA.
Nobody identified themselves.
Yes, just staff and council.
Okay, thank you. Item four on the agenda was a review and approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the March 31st, 2020 meeting?
Regular board meeting? Move to approve.
Second.
Second. Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Is there any changes that the board proposes on them? Hearing none, Sharon, would you call the roll on the approval of the?
I will, Mr. Chair. Tysonka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on, financial reports. The CEO financial memo is the first item on there. And is that, Trey, is that yours or Kay's or?
That'd be mine, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
There's a motion on page 9 if you want to put it on the floor.
Yes, please.
Okay. Motion?
I move to accept the year-to-date financial statements through May 2020 and disbursements for March, April, and May 2020, totaling $1,492,054.80 as presented.
Seconded by Prashant.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Now, discussion on it. And I think it's back to you then, Trey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome everybody to our first Zoom meeting. And thanks for everybody's patience in getting this going. And I think we'll learn a little bit from this one and hopefully make some improvements along the way. Anyway, just kind of hit the highlights here on my memo. I think overall, financially, we're in pretty good shape this year. You know, the revenues have been restored. The reservoirs have been recharged. And so we're looking really good overall. And I won't go into any details. It's highlighted in my memo there pretty well. I did talk a little bit about the submarine cable project and costs and how we might cover those costs. And I'm happy to take any questions on that now, but we might wait and discuss that a little bit more since we do have an executive session on that topic today. But in short, you know, we do have insurance coverage. We've been working with the insurance company and our underwriter. They've assigned a person to that case. And so we have quite a bit more work to do as far as, getting the adjuster to make some type of a ruling on there. And I don't think that's going to occur until we actually pull up the cable. So, but just as a reminder, we do have $5 million of submarine cable coverage and about a $250,000 retention, also known as a deductible for some a more common term for some. Then we have $8 million in the self-insured risk fund, which is exactly why we have that fund. Then we also do have $2 million in the rate stabilization fund that we can tap into if we need to. And then we do have some additional funds in the R&R. We needed to dip into that as well. So the reason why I mentioned that is more than likely we're going to have to cover probably the full cost up until the time that the cable is extracted and a root cause analysis can be completed. I think it's important to note, and I put it in my financial cover memo as well, that I have reached out to the debt manager of Alaska and engaged him on potential for bonding. And so I think the board's probably going to want to have discussions a little later about that on how we might, the strategy we want for the long-term funding of the cable replacement. At this time, bonds are pretty cheap. Money's cheap right now, so this might be an appropriate time to take on that additional debt. And I'll add one other thing with regard to that. I have reached out to my contacts in Washington, D.C. too, and I am pursuing some potential, I'll say very very remote chance, if you will, regarding a infrastructure bill. There's been some activity there just in this last week. On the House side anyway. So I am pursuing all those different venues, if you will, for financing that potential debt that we're going to take on. So more to come on that a little bit later. And the other items there, I think we'll get into a little bit more detail as we go through the financials. So back to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Trey? Okay. Hearing none. At this point, Trey, do you want to talk any more about the financial side of it, just the ongoing operations, or you think we're pretty well covered?
Well, I'll hit a couple of the high points. I did put most of that in my memo, but, you know, I always like to draw folks' attention to page 10 on the PDF numbering that shows the megawatt sales year-to-year comparison. This is a good snapshot to see how we're doing so far year to date. And you can see we had a pretty robust year so far. So I'm really happy with that. And temperatures have been a little bit, I'll say, on the moderate side as well. So that's obviously going to impact some sales as well. So far, so good. And if you just kind of roll through the attachments there, I'll just direct your attention to page 14. That's our fund chart, and you can see things are relatively stable there, which is good as we look forward to potentially having to spend quite a bit of money on some submarine cable repairs. Moving on to page number 16, the year-to-date financial overview. This is a good snapshot. And Robert, can you make that screen you're showing a little longer? Or maybe a little, I'm not quite seeing the whole thing. Maybe I just got to change my screen here. There we go. Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to point out that if you look at the total revenue for the operating revenue, you can see so far year to date where revenues are higher than expected on budget. And if you look prior year, just a huge change from the 5.6 to 3.15 on revenue to date. The expenses were pretty much right on target with budget, a little bit under, which is positive. And then if you move down to the megawatt trend, this is a new feature put on here, and it gives you a kind of, you can view it a little bit in a little bit different way, if you will, for the megawatt hours year over year for the last 5 years. So you can see we're hitting in the 82,000 megawatt hours there pretty consistently for a couple of years, except for the anomaly last year, which was really low. So anyway, I just wanted to point out those couple of things. Any questions on the financials that anybody had? Happy to entertain them.
Yep. Trey, this is Bob Lynn. What have you made any estimates or guesses of where we're going to end up at the end of the year?
So right now we're trending on revenue a little bit higher than budget, and operations we're trending a little bit under budget. So right now I think we're in good shape. There's nothing on the horizon right now that says something drastic with regard to revenues and expenditures, other than the unknowns associated with the system. We'll be talking a little bit later on some R&R fund items that we'll be dipping into that fund a little bit more to handle some business. But as far as the operating budget, the expense budget, I think we're in good shape.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions for Trey on the finances?
Trey, this is Robert Larson. And so are we seeing right now the effects of the lack of tourists and that kind of activity in Ketchikan?
I'll let Robert speak to loads there a little bit. I think just from a general overview, I mean, temperatures are down a little bit, so we're seeing loads are up a little. Typically, we see fisheries coming in about this time of year, and those might be subdued a little bit. Obviously, we've lost a couple of smaller processors over the last couple of years. Robert, did you have anything you wanted to add as far as just where we're trending this year relative to loads and such?
Yeah, loads are low. I wouldn't say that they're lower than an average year, though, and that is evident in this chart that Trey showed a few minutes ago, where May, really, April was a great month. March was a great month. So we really haven't got into our typical fish processing loads, and so we'll see how those pan out. I don't know if those are going to be lower or not. It seems that the fish are coming in.
And tourist-related loads are minimal.
Ed mentioned tourist related loads are minimal, especially during the summer when they're not using heating loads anyways. It's mostly lighting loads. So at this point, Robert, I think minimal impact in terms of power.
Yeah, it's that's I mean, I just don't have a good feel for the effect of a COVID-19, you know, on our tourism industry. But I don't think that's a big component of our demand anyway. So I just wanted to have that aired right now. Give me a chance to think about it.
Thank you. Other questions for Trey on the finances? If not, we have a motion on the table, Sharon, would you please call roll on it?
Will. Lynn?
Yes.
Prasanta?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, moving on down to item 6 under old business, update on the SEPA 2020 operations plan. Let's run the operations plan there first, if you want to talk about it, and I believe that would be Robert.
Can we get a page number if we go along here too, just to help us?
It would have to be page number 31, Steve.
Thanks, Trey.
And I'll let Trey kind of kick this off, and then I can go into this a little bit.
Yeah, so operations plan, we'll be putting one of these in. We try to update the board on every meeting, essentially, on how we're doing. And so you can anticipate seeing an operations plan, an abbreviated one, if you will, in each of the board packages, kind of let you see where we're at and how we're doing. I'll let Robert talk a little bit on how we're doing. I mean, the nice thing is that we do have some water up on the flashboards, but I'll let him elaborate on that and what he's seeing on the hill.
Okay. So I'll make this fairly abbreviated, but we're looking absolutely amazing in comparison to 2018 and 2019. As we went through our turn this year, we had at the board meeting there, we approved lowering draft limits. We lowered it from 1280 to 1270 at Tyee, and we lowered it from 280 to 277 at Swan. And fortunately, we did that as a risk mitigation. So in the event that we needed to utilize that water, we didn't have to call a special board meeting, but we didn't end up using that draft. The turn came earlier than anticipated, or actually on time, and so we made it through without even